And away we go. Here we are off and running on this Getaway Friday, January the 10th, 2019. And here we are. Oh, see, we're having the, Oh, did we get it worked out there? Okay, yes. I think the mic problem is worked out now. I don't know. 4 out of 5 days this week, the mic did not turn on just as we wanted it to. Oh, it's kind of going in and out this morning. Well, this will make for an interesting Friday. Getaway Friday, January 10th, 2020, 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we are going to have a lot of fun this morning. Much like the fun we had yesterday, just kind of talking about things, doing trivia, and talking to you on the toll-free line. Now, I do have a couple things I want to do here before I get to the opening monologue. Let's see here. Let's do our bicentennial moment. I think it's fun to start out with these bicentennial moments. The bicentennial moment today for Friday, January the 10th, 2020. Boy, if this microphone... Okay, there we go. It's a little touchy this morning. Okay, let's hope it sticks there. Friday, January the 10th, 2020. Here we go. Representative of the Ohio legislature were given the task in 1822 of locating the site for the county seat of Marion County. Land in the areas of Big Island, Clarendon, and Marion were among the sites considered. When Marion was announced as the choice, the inhabitants of the village celebrated by drilling holes in several large oak trees. The holes were filled with gunpowder and fired, with the resulting explosions shattering the trees. Well, now see, there you go. There's how people celebrated back in 1822. Representative of the Ohio legislature were given the task in 1822 of locating the site for the county seat of Marion, and they filled the inhabitants of the village. Oh, my goodness. Celebrated by drilling holes in several large oak trees, the holes were filled with gunpowder and fired, and the resulting explosions shattered the trees. So there you go. That's the bicentennial moment for this Getaway Friday morning. Now, see, that's something I would not even think of doing, is filling an oak tree stump with gunpowder. But there you go. And apparently that all happened in 1822, and we're not going to go off on the soliloquy this morning of when is Marion's bicentennial. We have done that over and over and over, so we're not going to do that this morning. So I'm going to spare you that. Now, we also do have kind of an interesting thing here. I was handed this yesterday. It's called the Daily Chronicle. Now, this is for yesterday, Thursday, January the 9th. So I'm going to give you some of these facts and also a quote of the day from this chronicle. It's yesterday's chronicle, but it'll work for us. Yesterday, on January 9th, 1493, sailing near the Dominican Republic, Christopher Columbus reported seeing a manatee. He thought at the time that they were mermaids and described them as being not half as beautiful as they are painted. So Christopher Columbus saw a manatee in 1493 on January the 9th. Okay, 1903. After 2 years of fighting and sabotage, the National and American Baseball Leagues agreed to coexist. They also agreed to have the champions of their respective leagues play each other in a so-called World Series that happened in 1903. The World Series was created. So the World Series is, what, 117 years old? How about that? In 2007, Apple CEO Steve Jobs unveiled the first iPhone. Engineers were worried because the software wasn't finished, and they feared the demonstration would be a flop. Well, I don't think anything has ever flopped when it has come to the iPhones, iPads, anything since their inception in 2007. Now, can you believe that the iPhones have only been around for a little, what, well, not even, well, yeah, just 13 years now. 13 years. That really changed the world. And, you know, that's something that I love to talk about because cell phones came in big in the early 2000s. That's really when they made their foray into life as we know it. before that, people really didn't have cell phones. People didn't talk on cell phones prior to the year 2000. Some people had those great big cell phones that we used to have, but they were few and far between. Everybody still had the landline telephones in their house. And then all of a sudden the 2000s came and everybody kind of got a cell phone, but they were the little cell phones. They were like the flip phones. They were not really anything like we have today. And at that time, I remember everybody talking about how the world is changing because of the cell phone, that the cell phone and the internet are changing the world. And certainly they did. Cell phones certainly eliminated the need for a landline telephone. And so many cell phones went into use that they had to put up more towers, and it really just changed the world. We don't even have a white pages anymore because of this. But the internet was also changing things as well at that time. We had the information highway. Do you remember when the internet was called the information highway? Now, back then, a lot of it was just dial-up, but they even had to gear that up to DSL and things of that nature because landlines were so slow, the dial-up for the internet. So that came in and changed things. But what I don't think anybody ever expected was 2007 with the iPhone. I think people got the cell phone and being be able to communicate with anybody at any time. I think people got the internet and now we could email and direct message people. I think people all saw that coming. I think that was really on the radar. But what was not on the radar is texting. That is something that I don't think people saw coming. And I don't think they thought that that would ever be a thing. And if you go back to 2007, obviously, I don't think Steve Jobs really thought that that was going to be a big thing. But texting has changed the world to the fact, I bet more cell phones now are used for texting than calling people. It changed the cell phone industry. And to be honest, it really kind of changed the internet industry because most people now get on the internet through their iPhone. They don't use a desktop or a laptop or that sort of thing. Matter of fact, I don't have the statistics on this, but I would bet that if you polled people, how do you get on the internet? I would bet it's the iPhone. I bet that trumps laptops. I bet it trumps desktop computers or any other device. I don't think anybody saw that coming. I don't think the computer companies saw that coming. And like I say, the big one is texting. So much now that we have laws that you cannot text and drive, that this has become such a big problem because people are doing it all the time. I think people, when they were developing texting, just thought it would be a quick way to send somebody a message and maybe a little convenience. I don't think they ever thought that it would be how people would communicate and really starting to take away the human voice, the bakshumana of how we all communicate. Now, this is something I do worry about. Not just being in radio, but communication in general. I wonder the generation that is coming now, born after 2007, when this texting rage came about, are they going to speak well? Are they going to be able to have a conversation? Because that generation will never have had to have one. They can do everything through text. Now, obviously, if you go into a restaurant or something like that, you've got to order, you've got to do that sort of thing. But will they ever be able to have a conversation with their friends? Will they be ever able to have a conversation when they're going for a job interview? Did texting change that all? In 100 years from now, when we're all dead, will that generation be so tech-savvy and text-savvy that they won't even be talking much anymore? High and by, maybe. I don't know. I think it's a very interesting thing and something, but I don't know. I think it's just, it's really something that has changed the world to a great degree. And I don't know if that's for the better. I think texting is a great convenience, but I think if you're texting, you also do need to talk to people. At some point, you really have to talk to people because if you're not talking to people, you really do lose something. You lose inflections, you lose sarcasm, you lose cynicism, even though that's not a great trait to always have. You lose laughter. You lose the whole thing when you're not talking to people directly. It's fine. I like to text. I like to do that sort of thing. But I also like to talk to people. I think that's very important. And also facial expressions, tone of voice. That's another one you don't get through text messages. I don't know. I think it's kind of fascinating how things have trickled down over the years. Now, do you have an opinion on this? I didn't expect it to go this way this morning, but after reading that from 2007, do you think in the last 13, 14 years that this has changed the world? And where do you think we are going to go from here? What's going to happen now as far as texting goes? Is it going to totally eliminate the idea of communicating with other people, of visiting other people, of having fun with other people? I wonder about inflections. We really haven't seen it because the people born in 2007 now are only 13, 14 years old. And around that age, a lot of kids are still kind of quiet. But when they get into the real world, when they become 18, 20, 25, 30, are they going to have a whole different way of speaking? Will they have sarcasm? Will they have cynicism? Will they have voice inflection? Will they have tone of voice? What did this do as far as we go? Does anybody have an opinion? 740-383-9944. I think it's a fascinating topic. Now, did you know? Here's a did you know. Did you know that in medieval times, mermaids were believed to exist and were cataloged alongside whales as common sea creatures? How about that? In medieval times, mermaids were believed to exist and were cataloged alongside whales as common sea creatures. There you go. Kind of interesting. The quote of the day. Now, this could be any day of the week, and it was yesterday, so I guess it is any day of the week. Here's the quote of the day. I must be a mermaid. I have no fear of depth and a great fear of shallow living. That's an interesting quote. I've never heard that one before. Now, I'll give that to you again. I must be a mermaid. I have no fear of depth and a great fear of shallow living. Well, you know, that's a good quote. Because it kind of goes back to the iPhone thing. I think having depth in your life is kind of important. Shallow living, face value, paying attention to what somebody wears or how they look or how they talk or how much money they have. I don't know if that's the best thing in the world. That's kind of shallow in a way. But depth. Look into somebody's depth, and I think you'll find a whole lot more. You know, you can sometimes run into people who you think are totally, totally not your type of person. And you're judging that totally on shallow things. You're judging that on the way they look. You're judging that maybe on just little bits of conversation you're having with them. And you think they are just not your type of person. And you go on and you don't talk to them. And you never really learn what they are about. But sometimes if you go deep, if you get into the depth of them, you'll learn that there's maybe a whole lot more there than what you expected. And maybe that's how we all should live life. Give people a chance. Go in a deep dive. Do the depth thing. I think that's a very good quote. So a very good quote to start the day today. Quote of the day, I must be a mermaid. I have no fear of depth and a great fear of shallow living. So there you go. Don't live shallow. Live with great depth. Now, that is the Daily Chronicle from yesterday. And we have done our week in review here. So let's see what else is on the topic table this morning. Okay. I'm going to save that one for hour number two. Oh, here's something kind of interesting. Okay, you know, Charlie has talked about this tree over by the Marion Public Library that he has driven by and he is fearful that's going to fall down. that this tree is going to fall down and hurt somebody. Now, to be honest with you, I really had never went over and paid attention to that tree. And I've been to the library since Charlie started talking about this, but I had never really went over and looked at that tree or tried to spot it to see what was going on. And until we had that windstorm, when was that windstorm? Like a week ago, something like that, I think about a week and a half ago. Until we had that windstorm, I never really thought too much about that tree. Well, last night, just so happens, I was over by the library, and it was on my mind to look at this tree that Charlie has constantly talked about. Now, I'm going to talk to Charlie today because he'll be on from 10:10 until 12 noon, and then I'll be on with Charlie from 12:10 to 1 p.m. today for the Exchange Club. So I'm going to talk to Charlie when he gets in about this tree, because last night I think I saw the tree he was talking about. Now, I can't be sure that this is the tree he was talking about, but if you go to the Marion Public Library and you're driving down 309 Center Street that way to the library, and then you turn on that little side road there, and I'm trying to think of what that side road is. You know, it's not the first major road that you turn on. It's you go down Center Street and you pass by the Marion Public Library, and it's the second road. It's the narrow road that has the houses on one side and the library on the other side. So if you're driving down this road, approaching it from Center Street, the houses are on the left side of the road and the library's on the right side of the road. If you go down there and you're kind of at the point where the library is about to end and there's a house right next to the library, there is this gigantic tree. I don't know how long this tree has been there, but it's a huge tree, and it's kind of leaning toward the library. It's really a steep angle. When I saw it last night, I was totally shocked at how much this tree is leaning down. Now, I don't know if the tree is weak, though. That's what I could not really figure out. I couldn't tell if the tree is weak, because it looks kind of like a strong tree, but it's just leaning in such a way, at such an angle, that if something ever did happen, if a strong wind blew it over, or I don't know what would happen, it would really do some damage to those houses, to the power lines, to the library area. I've never seen anything quite like that, and the tree is so big that really, if it fell, it would do a lot of damage. Now, I'm not sure if that's the tree Charlie's talking about. I'm almost going to guess it is, because I really don't see any other trees around the library that would do that kind of damage. But I do wonder if the city has been out there and inspected that tree to cause any bad things from happening. I wonder how the tree grew that way. Does anybody know anything about trees? Because for that tree to grow that way, something had to happen in the development of that tree for it to grow at such an angle, because I don't think the tree is weak. It doesn't look weak, although maybe it is. I really don't know. I didn't get out and shake it. But it doesn't look weak. It just looks like it grew in such a way that it is headed in the wrong direction of where it should be growing. It is not growing straight up and down. It is growing kind of at a perpendicular growth, as you would say. What would cause that? Has anybody went over there since Charlie started talking about this, or has anybody in general went over and saw this tree? It's kind of an interesting thing to go and look at, because I'd never really seen anything like that. Has anybody seen this tree? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'd love to hear about that. And also, if you know something about horticulture, what would cause a tree to grow like that? Because it's had to have been growing like that for a long time. It doesn't look like it was broken or knocked over or something like that. I couldn't see any areas in it where it looked like it would have been hurt after a period of time. So does anybody know what happened to this tree over by the Marion Public Library? And has anybody driven over there and looked at it? And if you haven't, and you just happen to be out and about, and maybe over by the public library, drive down that street and take a look at that tree. You can't miss it. Like I say, if you're coming off Center Street, go to the street, the street after the library. You know, you're driving down Center, and you pass by the library, and it's the street that has the, it's the narrow street. You know, the one that we all drive down that's two-way, but yet cars are parked on it. And if you're going down it two-way, one car cannot go the opposite direction that you're going. It's a very narrow street. But one side will have the houses on it and the libraries on the other side of it. And it's right there where the library meets that second house. And I also wondered whose property that tree would be on. I don't know if it is on the library's property or if it's on that homeowner's property. Right there next to the library, because it would be a very close call. I don't know how that land is divided up there. I don't know whose problem that would be. But take a look at that tree. You will be really shocked at the way that tree is lining now, leaning. Now, the good thing about it is that it seems to be leaning toward the parking lot. So if it did go down, there is a good chance that I don't think it would hit the power lines. Now, I guess it is a possibility that it could get tangled up in the power lines, but I don't know. It might take them down. It's hard to say. Let's take a call. Go ahead, caller.
That's Cummins Street.
Cummins Street, that's the name of it.
Corner Church and Cummins.
Church and Cummins. So have you seen that tree over there?
Yep. What? Been there for years.
Has it always been in that direction, growing that way?
Yeah. They used to say that a plant follows the sun.
Oh, you know, okay. But there are no other trees in
there. It reaches the sun for its energy, and that's it slants that way. So when it was first planted, it might have been planted in the whatever season, and the sun was in that angle. No, it wasn't straight overhead. It was either left or right, like it is now. Because the shortest day of the year, the sun's in the southern sky, and as the year goes on, it'll be overhead, and then it'll go north.
You know what's interesting to me? There are no other trees in that area that are even remotely like that.
Well, none that old.
You think that's the oldest on the block?
I would think so, yeah. Yeah, it's huge. It's probably 5-6 foot across.
Now, do you think, because I really couldn't tell, I didn't get out, like I say, and shake it last night, is it weak, or did it just grow that way?
No, I think it just grew that way.
Just grew that way. So do you think there's any danger of this thing falling over?
Probably not, within the next 100 years.
Well, I tell you,
rotten inside, that would be the only thing. That's a big problem with a lot of trees around. You notice you get on Church Street, in the second block after what we're talking about, there's two trees. There's just a tall stump sticking up. Those were all rotten on the inside, and the wind come along and blew the top of them out. That's usually what happens to those trees.
Now, I cannot remember the street. What is the street on the other side of the library, the busy street?
Greenwood.
Greenwood, that's it.
Greenwood.
How could I forget Greenwood?
Hey, did you get your answer to the song?
No, I did not. Let me run that song, and if you have the answer, give it to me. But the song is, what song, very popular song, compares love to strawberry ice cream in a lyric? Do you know the answer?
It's Accidentally in Love by Counting Crows.
Accidentally in Love by Counting Crows. You've got that right. And apparently, you know what's funny? I've talked to a lot of people about this, and more people remember that because apparently it was in the movie Shrek. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen Shrek, to be honest.
I've seen Shrek 1, 2, and 3. Oh, so I'll watch them.
So do you remember Accidentally in Love being in Shrek?
Nope, I don't. Next time I see Shrek, I'll remember it.
Yeah, but it's a great song. Counting Crows did it, and then I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers covered it, and apparently now it's been in the... Yeah, that's what somebody told me the other night. And it's been in the movie Shrek now, apparently, I've been told. But it's a great, great song.
Yep.
Well, hey, I thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, well, that's good. Now we know the street that that tree is on. The street is Cummins Street here in Marion. You know, I knew that it was... Well, of course, I knew where the street was, but there's I used to remember Cummins Street because all those streets over there, it's hot. If you were going to go to the library, all those streets kind of look alike when you're driving down Route 95. So how I always remembered Cummins Street was the right street is there's an Elm Street over there, and it's the street after Elm. Now, why I remembered it that way, I have no idea, but if you're driving down Route 95... toward downtown Marion, if you look on the right side, it's Elm Street and then Cummins Street. So I always got prepared to slow down. When I saw Elm Street, I knew the next street was going to be the street that the library was on, which is Cummins Street. But that's the street we're talking about, not Greenwood. Don't go down Greenwood. You won't see this tree. It's Cummins. If you go down Cummins... I guess it depends on which way you're coming from. If you're coming from Route 95, it's going to be on the left side of the road. And if you're coming from Center Street, it's going to be on the right side of the road on Cummins. But it's right there between the house, the last house, and the library. Between the last house and the library, there is this big tree. And take a look at it. It's a very unique tree to look at here in Marion. But it's over on Cummins. So if you're out and about... take a look. Now, does anybody else have any theories on why that tree grew that way? I like the idea of the trees grow toward the sun. That makes sense to me. That seems totally logical. And it probably, it does not look like it's a weak tree. So maybe there is no danger of it falling over. I would imagine somebody from the city has been out there to look at that to make sure that there's no danger in that tree because it's such a gigantic tree. But, the big tree on Cummins. Now, we got one of our questions answered here, so maybe we'll get into some trivia right away this morning. The song, I love this song. As a matter of fact, I was listening to this song last night. It has a lyric in it that compares love to strawberry ice cream, and the song is Accidentally in Love, and I think that was even the title of a movie at some point. Counting Crows did the original version, but I think the Chili Peppers, Red Hot Chili Peppers, covered that at one point. But I'm trying to think of the lyric about strawberry ice cream. I was just listening to it last night. Maybe I'll have to pull it up during the break and get the lyric that actually talks about strawberry ice cream. I know it's the second verse, but the reason this appeals to me is not only because the song is great, but because I think strawberry ice cream is the best ice cream you can get. And we used to be able to get it in a waffle cone at Cold Stone, but unfortunately, that has went by the wayside. But luckily, if you want a strawberry sundae, you can still go to McDonald's and get a strawberry sundae. Is there anything, here's a question for you, is there anything else in town, if you want a good dessert, where's a good place to go? Maybe one that involves strawberry, or I know a lot of people like hot fudge sundaes. Where would be a good place to go to get a good dessert? Now, I'm not talking about a milkshake, because obviously we know the good places to get a milkshake in town. But I'm talking about just a good sundae, a good dessert. Where would be the top places to go in town? Because to be honest, I am not a huge dessert person, but if it's a good dessert, I can go out and have a dessert. So are there little hidden gems in Marion that have good desserts, that have sundaes? Let me know. 740-383-9944. 40 minutes past the hour. Time blowing by here on this rainy, rainy Friday morning. Getaway Friday here in the month of January 2020. Now, let's get into some of the questions since we've got one of them answered already. Okay, we got half of this one answered yesterday, so let's get into this a little bit here. Barbara Walters, legendary news person Barbara Walters, wrote two books in her 50-year history on the air. Now, yesterday we did learn one of her books was titled Audition. So we've got that one. Now, the other one, we don't have. So, we have one of Barbara Walters' books. It was Audition. What was the other book that Barbara Walters wrote in the 50-year history on the air? Does anybody know the other title of the other book that she wrote? That's a question. Here's another one for you. The TV series Good Morning Miami, which starred Ashley Williams, which she's been on this show. I've went through that many times. But it was a popular show that I liked that was on in the early 2000s. I think it ran for 2 years. But it had a popular theme song. Does anybody know the name, the title of the theme song for the television series Good Morning Miami? Can anybody tell me what the title of that theme song is? Now, we've also been doing slogans. Now, we got quite a few slogans yesterday. These are business slogans or product slogans. Now, this is the only one that we have left over from yesterday. Nobody's gotten it yet. It's still out there. I can't believe it because it's a product most people have had or heard of. Here's the slogan. Is it in you? Does anybody know the product? The slogan is it in you? Does anybody know what product has that slogan? 740-383-9944. Now, before I add a few more slogans here this morning, I just, one of our listeners very nicely just sent me the lyrics to Accidentally in Love, which was the answer to one of our trivia questions this morning. So here's the strawberry ice cream lyric. Okay, hold on. We're going to take the call, and then I'm going to get back to the strawberry ice cream here. Maybe this is an answer. Go ahead, caller.
Gatorade.
Gatorade. You got it. We finally knocked that one out of the box. Yeah. Is it in you is Gatorade. Now, did you know that? Because apparently most people did not.
Yeah, I did.
You did. Do they still use that in the ads?
Nah, they usually use, you look like you could use a Gatorade or something like that. Somebody, the one guy is really wiped out. So look, you look like you could use a Gatorade.
I had never heard that, to be honest. Is it in you? But we got Google yesterday. We got Facebook slogan. But, boy, we couldn't get Gatorade. So I'm glad you called in and got that. Thanks.
Alrighty.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, we do have Gatorade. Is it in you is the slogan for Gatorade. Okay, now we have more of these slogans we're going to get to today, but I do want to get the Accidentally in Love lyrics here because that was one of our questions. This is the verse in the song that compares love to strawberry ice cream, which was our question this morning. Okay, here it is. Now this is going to be weird to read on the air because obviously I'm not going to sing it, but here's the lyric of the song, and I'm sure you'll remember this song, very popular song in the movie Shrek, a lot of other places. But here's the lyric about strawberry ice cream. Well, baby, I surrender to the strawberry ice cream never, ever end of all this love. Well, I don't mean to do it, but there's no escaping your love. That was a horrible reading of that line, wasn't it? That was just about as bad as you can get. Let me try this again. Well, baby, I surrender to the strawberry ice cream, never, ever ending all this love. Well, I didn't mean to do it, and there's no escaping your love. Okay, that is the lyric. Now, you gotta love a song that compares love to strawberry ice cream. Now, in the quote or the lyric that I was sent there, it says end. But I think in the song they say ending, don't they? Ice cream never ever end all of all this love. I thought they said never ending of all this love. I could be wrong though. In the middle of a song, sometimes you don't hear exactly what they're saying. But that pretty much is how it goes. That's the comparison to strawberry ice cream. Now, what do we have slogan wise here? But I do thank the listener for sending us that. Quote. That is a great quote. That is such a great song because it really kind of speaks to what love is. It's kind of a mistake, an accident, and that's usually how it happens. So there you go. Okay. let's get back to the slogans. Here are the new slogans since we have all the other ones polished off at this point. Okay, here's the new slogans for today. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Do you know what that is? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Here's it. Well, I can't read the full one because it's got the title of the product in the title. So here you go. Blank are for kids. Does anybody know what that is the slogan for? Blank are for kids. Well, here's something interesting, by the way. We're doing the slogans. Next hour, I'm going to tell you who the listener was. It's not just a listener. But I have something to say about this person, so I did not get a chance to really kind of get into it in the first hour. So stay tuned for the second hour, because I've got a little story to tell, and I'm going to tell you more about this listener who just sent me the lyrics to this, and maybe why this person would send me the lyrics. So stay tuned for the second hour this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Timex.
Timex, you have got it. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. It is, yep. Timex. Now, have you ever had a Timex?
Oh, yes.
Are they a good watch?
Pretty much.
See, I've never had a Timex that I can ever remember, and I wonder if they do really hold up to all the things that they say they hold up to.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. That is exactly right. Okay, here are the other slogans we have. Blank are for kids. Does anybody know what that is a slogan for? Blank are for kids. Fly the friendly skies. Does anybody know that one? Fly the friendly skies. What can Brown do for you? What an interesting slogan that is. I've never heard that one, but I have the product here. What can Brown do for you? What an interesting... What can Brown do for you? Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Trix and United.
It is Trix and United. You have it right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're blowing right through these this morning. Yes, it is Trix are for kids, and United is Fly the Friendly Skies, United Airlines. I wonder if they're friendlier than other airlines. Here's one. I'll do it backwards. Can anybody tell me... well, this is a slogan. It's kind of what we're doing, but it's not on the paper. So this was another slogan that was used years ago. Not necessarily for, well, I'm just going to give it to you. You tell me what this is the slogan for. We love to fly and it shows. Does anybody know what slogan, what company that was a slogan for? We love to fly and it shows. That's not on the paper, but when we did the United one, Fly the Friendly Skies, it made me think of that. We love to fly and it shows. What is that the slogan for? Okay. We still have, what can Brown do for you? Does anybody know what that is the slogan for? What can Brown do for you? Here is one kind of interestingly enough, fitting in with what we were talking about earlier. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? What is that the slogan for? Think small. Does anybody know that one? Think small. Go ahead, caller.
What for Brown do for you? Is that UPS?
Yes, what can Brown do for you is UPS. Have you ever heard that used in conjunction with UPS?
I think I saw it on a commercial one time.
I have never heard that for UPS. I would think a company that was into deliveries, that would be kind of an odd slogan to use.
It is rather odd.
It is. Well, hey, I thank you for knowing that this morning.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's UPS. What can Brown do for you is UPS, which, I mean, I understand they have the Brown trucks and they have the Brown outfits. They have the Brown uniforms. But what can Brown do for you? If you were just to say that slogan, would that mean anything to you as far as package delivery goes? I would think their slogan would have something to do with their quickness or their efficiency or something like that. But it's, what can Brown do for you? That is UPS. Okay, the other one's on the table. We love to fly and it shows. Does anybody know what slogan, what company that is a slogan for? We love to fly and it shows. Can you hear me now? Think small. Think small. Does anybody know what company that is a slogan for? Now this one, I think this one was I think I've seen polls that this next one was voted the most popular slogan in the history of slogans. So I'm going to guess people are going to get this one. As soon as it's out of my mouth, the phones will start ringing. Oh, well, so I'm not even going to get it out of my mouth right now. We're going to take the phone call and come back to it. Go ahead, caller.
Can you hear me now? Is that Verizon?
That is Verizon. Can you hear me now? Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Is Verizon. So we have got that one. Okay. We love to fly and it shows. Does anybody know that one? We love to fly and it shows. Think small. Does anybody know that one? Think small. Now, as I said, this one I think was voted as the most popular slogan in the history of ad campaigns ever. So I think as soon as I say this, the phones are going to start ringing. This is probably the easiest one we've had, period. And here we go. You're probably thinking to yourself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to give it to you because it's too easy. Here's what I'm going to do on this question. What do you think it is? Because everybody knows what company this is for. What do you think? We've been doing all these slogans. What do you think is the most popular slogan of all time? What do you think I've come across here? Go ahead, caller.
Delta and Volkswagen.
Delta and Volkswagen. You have got that right. Now, here's the thing about Delta. We love to fly and it shows. Is that true?
I've never been on an airplane.
Oh, do you have a fear of flying or just never been on
one? Now, I guessed on the Delta one, but the other one I did look that up. But, no, I just never had a reason to. Well, everything I'm never going to need is right here in good old Marion.
Except fruitcakes at Christmas, right?
You're right. I may have to hop on a plane and go to the Claxton factory.
Head down to Claxton, Georgia. You know that.
Oh, no, I have a sister that lives in Dalton, Georgia, and I've driven down there before as well.
You know,
so, I probably still wouldn't even really fly.
Well, see, like I said,
you ever been on an airplane?
Have I ever? Yeah. I'll tell you, one airplane I've been on, aside from any commercial plane, Charlie and I. What was it? A year or two ago, we went up in this tin goose out at the airport and flew over top of Marion. Oh man!
What did you make of your experience?
Well, here's listen to this because you tell me if I'm nuts on this one. But it was a media flight, and we all were going to go up. And you know, Charlie has no fear of flying or going up in ancient aircrafts, so he was ready to do this. I don't have a fear of flying, but this thing to me, you know, I think there were only three of them left, and they've all got used parts on them at this point. So I get out to the airport, the Marion Airport, and they're getting ready to take this tin goose out of the hangar because they've got it in the hangar. It had come in the night before. And they can't get it out of the hangar. So they ask all of us there if we can help pull this thing out of the hangar. Now, this is the thing we're about to fly on. So
that helped you to feel real secure, didn't it?
Well, so we had to grab this thing by the wings and pull it out of the hangar.
And you still did it anyway.
Oh, my goodness. And we pulled it out of there, and I thought, what if somebody grabs this thing wrong and rips a piece of the wing off? They're not going to admit to doing it because it's an ancient airliner, and when we go up, we're immediately going to crash.
Yeah, that would be a bad day.
Well, it was kind of funny because the air show happens right after Labor Day, and it was so hot that day. Of course, there was no air conditioning in this tin goose. I think there was only 8 or 10 seats. You can't hear anything because the motors are so loud. You can barely see out the windows in it. And it took us so long. We taxied on the... we taxied at the airport forever just to try and get this thing off the ground. And, there weren't even seat belts on the thing. I mean, there was no chance of us surviving if this thing went down. I mean, you know what? I think if there had been an airline attendant, basically it would have just, put your head between your legs and kiss your rear end goodbye. That would have been...
All the more reason why I'm going to always keep both feet on the ground, Scott.
Oh, my God.
Just call me a lame-o.
I don't think this is the problem in commercial airliners, but, oh, boy, that tin goose, I think that's a good name for it, tin goose.
No, I'm overweight, and I hear a lot of people talk about how they discriminate, and you have to pay extra, and it's a big problem for fat people to get on airplanes.
Do you
have all the more reason why I'll just stick to my SUV.
Do you remember a few years ago, speaking of that, I remember Sean getting upset about this. Do you remember a few years ago when that airplane took off somewhere in the South, and it immediately crashed as soon as it took off, and they blamed it. Oh, yeah. You look this up. This is interesting. I don't think it ever happened.
And they blamed it on fat people?
Well, yeah. They said that there was too much weight on the plane, and they blamed it on the people. And then at one point, because this had happened, it was a big commercial airliner, there was talk for like a week or two about the airlines instituting a policy that you had to weigh in before you got on the plane.
Well, see, that would make more sense because if you know going into it that that's going to be a problem, you don't wait till you have a wreck and then try to point the finger of blame.
No, I think maybe that was just a precautionary thing, but the thing of it was do people want to be weighed in
well,
front
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that would be humiliating.
Yeah, at the airport. I mean, they already make you take your shoes off and they go through your bag and they smash everything.
If that old Honda pilot can't get me there, I don't need to go, Scott.
Well, I don't know. I just remember the tin goose, and I remember that story about the airliner crashing. Look that up sometime. That was an interesting story. I don't know if they ever found out what really caused that to crash, but they did try to blame it on heavier people.
Ain't that something?
Isn't that something? Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Have a good show, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We love to fly, and it shows. That was Delta. Does anybody remember that slogan? That was a really, really goofy slogan because, like, all the other airlines are in it for the money. Delta's in it because we love to fly and it shows. Now, 59 minutes past the hour. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back. 740-383-9944. Volkswagen is Think Small. Now, we have got more slogans, more questions, and next hour, I'm going to tell you who sent me the Accidentally In Love lyrics, and I've got a little story about this, and I don't think I've ever told a full story about this person on the air using their name with them not here. So, go get yourself some breakfast, go get yourself some Captain Crunch, toast, oatmeal, whatever you're doing. Listen to the news and weather, and you're going to hear this story right around the corner. Don't miss it. More trivia as well on this rainy Getaway Friday morning.
Back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I'm going to do one of my poems here tonight.
I hope,
really
I hope so. And, the Tom Snyder Bob Hope story.
Oh,
that's
you want to hear it now?
No, we want to get the answer to the question.
Oh,
okay.
But your question is not, I disagree. Don't you disagree? Or don't
you
agree that gossip?
With the question?
Because it contains three words, gossip and tabloid. And I think those are the same. Thou shalt not better ever never hurt. If you gave it a thought, you'd have never fought. It only made things worse.
Okay. That's pretty good. Very nice. Good. You know what depresses me about that would have never made a Hope special.
It would have got bumped.
It would have got bumped. Too complicated. I got to tell you, Gallagher, that's too complicated.
Yeah, that's deep.
Back to the corn pop.
I'm cutting edge. I'm on the lip.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the second hour of your Steve Boom Boom Cannon Afternoon Radio Rampage on WWGH 107.1. Have a great rest of the day, a good night tonight, and a better day tomorrow. Above all, have happy trails.
It's the place to be for your friends and your family. Our place is WWGH 107.1 FM.
One of our great people, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, so glad to see you.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Scott. I'm always amazed at all of these celebrities that you get. You're going through quite a bunch there. You're my favorite interviewer.
And that's all the time we have for today. We will be back tomorrow. Don't miss it, starting at 10:15 in the morning. Okay. This is Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
The place is WWGH 107.1 FM.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Eber Baker and Alexander Holmes established the town in 1821. By 1840, 570 people resided in the town. 6 years later, Marion boasted a population of 800 people, 3 churches, a private academy, 2 newspaper offices, 21 stores, 1 sawmill, 1 fulling mill, and 1 carding mill also existed in the town in 1846.
When Mother Nature strikes, who do you turn to? The number one trusted weather team in Marion County, the Marion, Ohio Weather Team. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com.
Get to catch now with Spears Monday through Thursday from 12:10 to